Hi there, welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. The Nordjavan podcast seeks to inspire, develop and equip young South Asians in their Christian walk with conversations about faith, life and culture. We're passionate about empowering young people to live for Jesus in a way that makes sense in their everyday lives, from family to work to relationships and even the church, making a difference wherever they go. Hi there and welcome to the Nordjavan podcast and welcome to our first episode of 2020. I'm your host Shaquille. Now, not only is this the start of a new year, but also a new decade. And I hope you had wonderful celebrations over Christmas and over the new year period to get you kick-started for all that's to come. And as we start this new year and decade, we wanted to spend a little bit of time thinking about what's coming up ahead for Nordjavan. So I sat down and spoke to Sanjay Rajo, who heads up the Central Nordjavan team. And we're going to have a listen to that conversation in a moment. However, before we start to think about the year ahead, we recognise that it is also important to look back at what has gone before and the foundations upon which we are building. So Sanjay went and spoke to his dad, Kuldeep Rajo, who started Nordjavan back in 1998.
Okay, so Dad, tell me a little bit about how Nordjavan began, the story by which it sort of got triggered, and kind of like the need that you saw within it.
In the mid-90s, when I was getting asked to speak at various churches, I'd go and speak, and very often noticed that both the children and the young people will be sitting in the meetings and basically looking pretty bored. And as I went around that became more and more apparent that there was not really a lot going on for them. And it all really came to a head when I was asked to help one of my friends in the Midlands to help train up some leaders who are working with Asian young people in that area. And there was a particular band that were leading the worship. I mean, they were very loud. but talking with them during the break, I just asked them what kind of, you know, what they did in their own churches. And each one, even though they went to different churches, said they were, first of all, a bit puzzled by the question. And they said, well, what do you do? What role do you play? Are you in the worship band or whatever? The answer I got really stuck in my head, and the answer was that we don't get a look in because it's mainly the traditional instruments they want. They don't really want the new ones. And the more I talked to them, and each one basically said the same thing. And that conversation stayed with me throughout my journey home. I was alone in the car, and as I drove back, I was praying, well, just, do you want me to do something? Should we do something? What can we do? And the more I thought and prayed, it just became a burden that we need to do something, but what? We had no real idea. And partway as I was driving along as well, because I started to get a little bit of a plan in my head just what we could possibly do, but didn't really know how to go about it. But as I prayed and listened to a worship song in Hindi, the lines in the song was Hum Hai Yesu Ke Naujawan, which is that we are the Lord's young people. And that again, it just seemed like I don't think I've ever heard that song before or since, but it just stayed in my head again. And as I thought more about it and came back and discussed it with the other pastor, Clive, and we said, well, let's pray about whether the Lord would want us to do something. Being in Southampton, we weren't best placed, but we decided to pray. And we set a time over 3 months, and in which time we'd also talk to some of the leaders we knew in the Midlands or in London, where there might be a better place to start, something like that, and that we would support them. But within that time, nothing happened. And so later in that same year, which was 97, we gathered some of our own young people and a few of the other senior members and tried to devise a plan of what we could do. And then in April 98, we held our first event, at which we had 60 or 70 people from 10 different cities, which actually shocked us, that people had come from Derby, from Ilford, and various other places in between. And so we saw there was a real hunger and a desire for that. And while the event was going on, we gathered some of the leaders in a separate room and said, look, this is something we've got to do. We ought to think about doing it more regularly. And again, after that, we gathered and devised the plan that we would have one event in the Midlands and one in London. And that's the pattern we followed. So yeah, essentially that's how it started, and those are some of the initial thoughts, yeah.
And so the need from the initial days about basically connecting with young people that were in churches, the vision there was about engaging them and equipping them and raising them to be leaders. And this mission statement came out, which was to inspire, develop and equip an emerging generation of South Asians in their Christian walk by all possible means.
Yeah.
Was that kind of fulfilled right away, or how have you seen that sort of develop?
It's a bit of a wordy mission statement, but the heart was that we wanted to see young people raised up into leadership, because we saw a generation where people were leaving church, not attending, and also even in Southampton, were known Afro-Caribbean community in which they had lost generations because it hadn't been thought and prayer given. And so we didn't want the same thing to happen to the Asian community. And so the desire was that we'd see young leadership grow. But as he started to work with these young people, it became very evident that most of them actually didn't even know the Lord. And so we had to rethink and made what we did much more evangelistic, so that they get saved. Thankfully, within them, there were quite keen people that came along with whom we were also able to work. But the idea was that they felt valued, that their gifting was used and developed. We tried to talk with different ones and see if they'd ever had opportunity to preach and all those different, whatever the gifting was, we tried to identify it. Use it and promote it and give them a platform to be able to do that.
And obviously over time we have seen lots of people become Christians but also get equipped for leadership.
Yeah.
So those three words of inspire,
yeah,
develop and equip have sort of shaped the direction to inspire people to know God for themselves, to develop them in their personal Christian walk, but then also to equip them to actually lead and take others with them on the journey.
Yeah.
But I think in many ways that the needs have developed and changed from the beginning to now.
Yeah.
But what would you say are, particularly for young people, and then maybe even just thinking about leaders of churches, particularly Asian-focused churches, what are the needs that you were seeing then that you would still say perhaps are there now?
Yeah.
And what advice or what kind of mindset should we be having about taking this forward? Because we're 20-plus years on.
Yeah.
But there's a need to grow. And I suppose even from my perspective, I've grown up in a context with you, but also with other leaders in our church, where there's been a massive investment in young people, always an eye on that, not as tokenism, but as a genuine form of being a part of a church, being raised up, being equipped, being given opportunity, all that kind of stuff. So how do we kind of promote that mindset, I suppose, more so?
Something that still is very much a need today is that the young people need a father, a mother figure, people that are looking out for their well-being and nurturing them into all the potential that they have. Not all the pastors in various areas, especially of Asian churches, have time. Many of them over the years have had full-time jobs and are also doing soldiering on in trying to trying to lead a church, which is a huge thing. But that need has to be seen and has to be met. I mean, we've had people come here travelling from other cities just to spend an afternoon, a morning, an hour, you know, with us, which is, you see the hunger.
And it's good, but it's also kind of sad, isn't it? Because you they're not.
Yes.
As much as that's a privilege to do that in their lives, they obviously don't have that where they are.
Yeah, that's right.
In a context.
That's right. And so in that sense, we've tried to link up, link the people up more locally. That isn't always easy because they're looking to you. But it's the home churches. They need to be aware and try and help. I'm sure there are many doing that, but it's just having that awareness and to be on the front foot with that.
That was Sanjay speaking to his dad, Kuldeep Rajo, about the start of Nordjavan. It was great to hear how the story began, and it's exciting to see that over 20 years later, Nordjavan is still going strong. We now turn to the conversation that I had with Sanjay for this episode as we talk about what we can draw from Nordjavan's history, looking forward towards this new year and where God is taking us. Sanjay, so great to chat to you. I know we're doing this over Skype, which the magic of technology.
It's great.
And it's great that yesterday you got the chance to speak to your dad.
I did.
You did. I mean, you speak to him, I'm sure, many a day. But yesterday you went and spoke to him about Nordjavan, and you had a chance to ask him about the origins of Nordjavan, where it started, and we've just had a listen to that conversation. I just wanted to ask you as we start off, how do you find that talking to your dad? Is there anything in particular that you drew from that? Anything that you learnt?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think, because I've sort of lived through the story of it as well, when reflecting back, it's always pretty, it always amazes me how this little idea kind of emerged from sort of being frustrated in a way. Sort of dad seeing this young group of South Asians not really included in their context in this in the Midlands there. And then, you know, in that very sort of confused and frustrated state, coming home and praying. And I don't know, I mean, every great movement of God begins in prayer. And so I think as dad prayed and then shared slightly wider and others prayed, that always strikes me that God is in charge of Nordjavan, and he's always been in charge of the work. And even though the vision in many ways was and continues to be a big vision, it really started very small. And and I think actually that's healthy. That's, it's not been sort of rapid growth or anything like that. It's been slow and steady. The ones and twos coming to know Jesus over the years. And so that just hearing it back as we chatted, that always sort of reminds me, I suppose, of its root. And actually, I think very often how God operates in any work that he's interested in doing. And also encourages me because, you know, I might lead this thing at the moment, but it's not really about me or any really individual. This is his work, and we continue with that value of prayer to submit it to God, to ask him to do what he's doing. So I guess that was a kind of a good reminder, just hearing that again yesterday.
That's great. I noticed something that stuck out for me when listening back to that conversation between yourself and your dad, is what something which sounds like one of the recurring themes that we've heard behind, like, the reason why there's Nordjavan, is that young people were not getting a look in. That was something that your dad was finding. And I want to ask, 20 years down the line, you know, Nordjavan's been doing lots of great work, and other people have been coming on board, and other churches have been involved with stuff to encourage young people. Is this still something that Nordjavan has to be working with and focusing on? Is it still a main issue?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we used to use this phrase that there were young people that were overlooked and underused. And I think 20 years ago, in many of the South Asian churches across the UK, that was generally the case. And it was an interesting one because young people would still go to church on Sundays, very loyal, hadn't got a personal relationship with Jesus, and very little to sort of help them in their journey, in their spiritual journey. But they would continue on sort of faithfully. Now, it would be completely wrong to say that that isn't still happening, because it definitely is in lots of places. But I'd like to think that over the last couple of decades, actually there has been great movement, partly in some of those churches, just because of how times change. I think we've had a little influence on some of that in terms of the young people that we've got to know over those many years. And one of the greatest joys for me has been seeing some of those young people really become leaders in their own right. And so where they were in places growing up, perhaps with very little investment in young people, where they're now in a leadership responsibility, they're actually aware and being able to invest back in to some of the younger people around them. I think one of the sort of most exciting spin-offs from the whole thing in these last 20 years, and actually this is really something we've only seen in the last sort of maybe 5 to 7 years, is that there have been a whole flurry of other kinds of ministries, a little bit like Nordjavan, maybe on a more localized scale, but where young people are really have a passion for Jesus. They have a desire to share the gospel with their friends. They are interested in gathering to worship, in studying the Bible. And so there have been all these kinds of ministries, whether it's a worship band or a kind of an event that's put together, or a Bible study group, or all kinds of like creative things that have come out as well. And that's been particularly encouraging for me, because we've prayed for that over many years. And you kind of know that that's working when actually it's almost happening without you. And that's been a really cool thing. I mean, and even add to that, you know, even people like yourself, Shaq, and others who are young South Asian people who are not just following the Lord, but saying, actually, I feel called into ministry. I feel called to be trained to serve the church, the wider church, the people in my city, wherever I might be. And so all of that, I think, is progress. But the need is still very much there. The vision has actually always been to do ourselves out of a job. In many ways, how fantastic would it be if a ministry like Nordjavan didn't need to exist? But actually, in practice, there's always a need for something like this, I think. There's always a space and a platform for us to be able to engage with people who maybe are either isolated, so they're the only Asian Christian, and we come across that story again and again and again, where there are young people who are Christians and from an Asian background, and they feel like they're the only one, or the ones who are totally saturated. They're in a very Asian church with little investment going on in their lives, and they can come into a context like Nordjavan and connect with many other young people who have a genuine love for Jesus and are trying to live that faith and that life out as best they can. And so I think there's still very much a place for what we're doing. The need remains there, and I guess one of the ways we're looking to try and tackle that is by developing leaders, and I think that's happening slowly, but it's happening.
Yeah, that's great. No, I can definitely, I know from my own eyes, from stuff that I've been seeing in Nordjavan, and like you're saying, some of the other ministries that we're seeing through the connections of Nordjavan and a part of the Nordjavan wider family, some of the things we're seeing are exciting in hearing that these things are taking place and that progress and growth is happening. There's something that your dad said which I think really stood out, and I know both of us thought it stood out, was this need for spiritual mothers and fathers that your dad was noticing. And actually how are we seeing that need today? How can Nordjavan be involved in responding to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's true of any healthy spiritual work, I think, in a small or large context, in a local or national or international ministry. We need all of us, spiritual mothers, fathers, who aren't simply just doing a job, to try and they're not just teachers, they're not simply just ministers in an official role, but people who genuinely care for the well-being of each young person. And I suppose the great goal is that not only would there be spiritual mothers and fathers in the network of Nordjavan and in the churches that we're working with, but that the young people that are receiving that are growing up to be that for others as well. And so in terms of how, I don't think there's any magic formula. I don't think you can systematize this. I think it requires really walking closely with the Lord, being prayerful, being people who actually keep our eyes open. Awareness is always a serious part of this. I mean, one of the things I often talk to friends about when we're talking about mentoring others and supporting others is keeping our eyes open. Who do you see that needs support? Who do you see around you that you can put an arm around, you can begin to work with, you can begin to encourage, create a safe and healthy relationship? And I think in many ways, and this is not at all a knock against Asian church leaders, I think Dad sort of highlighted the fact that for many of them, time is a huge issue. But also, I do think there is a cultural element that's at play. In traditional Asian culture, even just taking dads, for example, there is a distance, let's say, between a traditional Asian dad and his children. And a lot of the stuff that's to do with being raised and looked after and all that kind of stuff is left to mum. And if you sort of take that picture into church life, there's often the baggage that we bring from our culture, the baggage that we carry from our culture and our home. Even when we become Christians, we carry that into our spiritual journey, don't we, in terms of our formation. And so our relationship to those in authority over us, our relationship to those who would speak or even be spiritual mothers and fathers, often I've found that a lot of young people don't even know how to respond to that. So you might be offering it, but they might be rejecting it. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't have some sort of radical solution to that other than persistence and time. And, you know, I think if you're trying to build something, it just depends on what you're trying to build. I've got a friend of mine who always used to say, if you're trying to build an enterprise, you need strategy and mission. But if you're trying to build a family, which is what I think this whole thing's about, really, the Christian life in terms of Christian community, if you're trying to build a family, you don't necessarily need all of that. What you need is time and kindness. Yeah. And if you have time and kindness, whoever's listening to this, if you're an Asian church leader or you're a youth leader, you're a young person yourself, if you have time and kindness for those that are around you, and you invest in them. And that word investment is really important, because an investment isn't often a quick return. Yeah. It's a long return. So if you have that attitude, I really believe that one by one, we can see people grow in their walk with Jesus. And actually, it's a great joy when we see that happening, when we see people who have only just become Christians and then they're growing in their faith. That to me really excites me. I mean, one of the tools that we've created to try and help do that was the Built on the Rock course. That was kind of something that was being used for a long time here in Southampton where we are, but sort of revamped it with videos and all that kind of stuff to enable people to sit with someone and take them through a really basic Bible study. But it wouldn't work if it was just, let's do a Bible study. There's got to be a wider spectrum of care for that person.
Yeah.
And that's what I think being a spiritual mother and father should look like. And I guess it just begins by taking that time and showing kindness.
Yeah, just by by doing it, throwing yourselves into it, creating a culture of that investment in kindness, and culture begets culture. And actually, as we shape that that culture, the next generation learns that this is how we can do things.
Well, I think that's what we've actually seen as well. So many of, I've been actually quite surprised by this, but many of the sort of emerging leaders that we have within Nordjavan, I think have been so attracted to what's happening here because for them, the sort of culture that is there is unfamiliar. And to me, it's surprising because it isn't particularly clever, and it isn't particularly unfamiliar to me. So I think I always have been nervous over the years running the events we've run and the training we're training, because I'm often thinking, well, what are we even offering here? It's not sort of radical. It's not some sort of newfound teaching. It's just the same old stuff. But actually, I think the Lord uses that and his spirit's on it, because for many of those young people, especially I would say in the last 5 years, they've been attracted to that, have seen and received the personal benefit of that kind of attitude and all the stuff we were just talking about. And then I think have realized that that is the way God can use them as well. So they, I mean, I've always been particularly excited for people to kind of catch a vision and then carry a vision back, and it's really exciting to see that. Probably, I mean, there was probably no greater example than when our friend Sonia from Canada came to the UK. She sort of caught that vision and she carried it back to Canada, and that's basically how some of the stuff in Canada for Nordjavan began. And it was this idea that you catch something and then you carry it to where you're going to go. And so you're right, you know, culture, if you can get that culture right, then it will travel.
No, definitely. It's been really interesting when you were chatting to your dad, how when he was sharing the original vision and the ideas behind Nordjavan at the start, a lot of the language that was being used, the inspired, the equipping, developing, all that sort of language that was there at the start is also feeding into the vision of Nordjavan today. And so just wanted to ask, where do you see that original vision feeding in to Nordjavan today? Is it still the same? Has it changed?
Yeah. Well, I think, so the way I often think about it is mission is ongoing, and vision, kind of the way in which we do something, changes. So I would say our mission statement, to inspire, develop and equip an emerging generation of South Asians and their Christian walk by all possible means, is exactly the same. That is very much what we're all about and continue to do. And we're never going to tick that off a list, are we? We're never going to say, right, now we've inspired every South Asian or everyone's equipped. Like, it's an ongoing thing. But the way in which we do that, which is what I would call our vision, so our mission is to inspire, develop and equip, but our vision, the way in which we do it, that's always changing. That's always evolving. So, you know, we've done everything over the years. We've done events, day events, evening events. We've done training events. We've done football events. We've done other sports events. We've done, we're doing a podcast. We're doing one-to-one relationship stuff, everything. We did tours, you know, for several years where we would travel around the country. And all of that was really just different ways in trying to execute the same mission. So I think that the method changes, and that's really a spirit-led thing in the end. And I think actually any Christian movement that is trying to honor Jesus, if we get too tied to method, we're going to die. And actually that's perhaps not a bad thought in terms of some of the churches we work with. If we get too obsessed with the method or the way of doing something, just because it worked in our context or in our season or in our generation, it doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. And often God doesn't do things the same way twice. And so I think whilst the mission remains, and let's be honest, you know, that mission of Nordjavan pretty much sits inside the Great Commission and the Great Commandments of Jesus, to love God, but also to go and tell the world about him. I think that is never going to change. But we're trying to find new ways of doing that in new forms. And I guess part of that is also about enlisting new people, which is kind of an interesting stage that we're at right now.
Cool. So I realise we're nearly out of time, but just to wrap up, I want to ask, so it's January, it's the start of the new year, 2020, you know, the start of a new decade. What can we expect from Nordjavan for this coming year and maybe even the coming few years as we enter into this new decade?
Yeah, it's a great question. The truth is, I think in one simple way, more of the same. We want to continue to create spaces where young people can come together, worship Jesus, bring their friends who don't know Jesus, a safe space where they can bring them along with the guarantee that there will be a clear message preached of who Jesus is and how we can trust him and know him in our own lives. So that's really at the core of what we're about, is sharing the goodness of Jesus with people. So we're going to create some events throughout the year. We're just talking together as a team about what that looks like. But also, hopefully, new and fresh initiatives as well, where we're, I'm excited about things like Nordjavan Girl that are happening, this podcast that's happening. I think other ways of helping and training people. We're continuing on. We, for the last few years, we don't actually advertise this out, and it's more of an invite only thing, and we'd be open if people are listening to this and they want to come along, then they can drop us a line. But we run something called a leaders gathering once a year for kind of emerging leaders, so we're looking to do that again as a place to equip them. But probably the big thing to say in terms of this year and the years to follow is really a transition, particularly for me. You know, I've been leading Nordjavan in the way that I have for over 10 years now. And there are so many amazing young people coming through that I think carry real gifts and anointing and can bring something to the scene. And one of the things we always talked about is having young people serving young people. And I'm not saying I'm not young, I sort of am, but I'm sort of not. So, you know, I'm excited. There's guys and girls that are in their late teens and early 20s and mid 20s. That I think can take this on to the next level. They can develop new ways of executing that method, that mission, and new methods of doing it. And so part of my vision and part of my desire in this is to enlist some of those key ones that we've been working with for a little while and release them to take more ownership of this in the day-to-day. That doesn't mean I'm running away from Nordjavan. I will always champion this and be part of it, but we want to get this process happening where we see new young people taking on particularly the core work that we're doing, but more than that, young people living it out wherever they are in their local sphere, recognizing particularly from an Asian background that they are uniquely made, uniquely placed to do things that only they can do. And so I think that is sort of where we're going to be heading over the next couple of months and year.
All right, Sanjay, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
It's been a real great time. It's been great chatting to you, and we'll hopefully speak to you again soon for the podcast.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
That was great to get to speak to Sanjay about his conversation with his dad, about the history of Nordjavan, but also what we can take from that going forward into this new year. Now, before we go, we're going to hear a track from Sam Daniel. Sam has been a friend and a part of Nordjavan for several years. He's a talented worship leader, musician, songwriter and producer. Now this is his song, Ituthan Arambam, an amazing collaboration of Tamil Christian rappers. And we hope you enjoy this exciting blend of rapping in Tamil and English. And we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, நண்பர்கள் கூடும் நேரம் இதுதான் கிறிஸ்தவர் சொல்லி செய்யில் புதிதாய் வேதத்தை சொல்லுவோம் பல மொழிகளில் ஆரம்பமே இனிதான் வேகம் இனி வேண்டும் நம் ஓட்டத்தில் சில மாற்றங்கள் அவசியம் வேதத்தின் வெளிச்சத்தை அறிவது கிறிஸ்தவ வாழ்க்கையின் ரகசியம்
ஏமாளி போராடி சில ஜனங்களை ஏமாட்ட பகை தேடி போராடி இதில் நான் போராடி மீண்டும் எழும்பிட வழி தேடி ஆரம்பம் அற்பமாய்தான் முடிவில் வேதத்தின் சத்தியம் தான் கற்றவை அனைத்தும் சொல்ல நினைப்பது கிறிஸ்தவ வாழ்க்கைக்கு
பட்சமாய்தான்
நேராக போகாமல் பாதாளம் போகின்ற பாதையில் நிற்கின்ற பார்க்கிறத கேட்கின்ற கேட்கிறத சொல்கின்ற பொய்யான உள்ளத்தால் தான் உலகம் தரும் பட்டம் நம்மை கண் கட்டும் விதம் சபைக்குள் அது சரியல்ல சிறைக்குள் சிலர் இருக்கும் வரை சபைக்கும் பல இடர்கள் இருப்பது புதிதல்ல புதிதல்ல இதை எடுத்து சொல்ல வெட்கம் இல்ல வேதத்தை கையில் எடுத்து நடக்கி போடி உள்ள கை வெல்ல
Kingdom mind, set in the times when the signs of the sons of God is in the night, where the light of the saints is a pain for the darkness, start to analyze, are the links to the spiritual legacy inheritance we don't dramatize, the king is still alive, kingdom shall arise.
எலியாவின் தேவன் நீரே, என்றும் யெகோவா ஈரே, என் வாழ்வில் அத்தங்கள் நீரும் ரத்தத்தின் சித்தத்தால் நடத்திடுவீரே, நீரெந்தன் கண்மலை, உன் கோபங்கள் பல எரிமலை, விரிப்பான்
Would you know about sacrifice? Do you think it'll follow you to afterlife? Would a man who is weak be worth the fight? Would a king give himself to be crucified? Does a stupefy yet? Truly willing and to be willing is winning it. Tooth and nail is finning it. Through the Hades is infinite. His intimate brutal loving is bringing it. Through the hurting beats sinning is schooling newbies like internet.
I love and I love a karabayu mullavari. Ullakathe patakyavai mumbaga therindavar. Villindu velikali lelimbida seidavar. Yuthathil satanai silivayil jaitavar. வல்லமையை அளிப்பவர் மரங்களை கொடுப்பவர் சாபத்தை மரணத்தை காலால் மிதித்தவர் பாட்டு என்ற வழியில் நினைத்து எத்து சேர்த்தவர்
Hey yo let's go நாங்க வேற மாதிரி bro and flow புது beat புது rap கேளுங்கோ I'm a Christian நீ சொல்வது போதாது உன் நடைமுறை பாதையில் வைத்து விடு சில பேருக்கு இது குத்தி காட்டும் just do it உன் வாழ்வில் எல்லாமா இயேசு வழி சத்தியம் ஜீவன் அவர் இந்தும் என்றும் தேவன்
சத்தியம் அறிவிக்க சத்தியம் உன்னை விடுவிக்கும் சத்தியம் உனக்காக சிலுவையை கொடுக்கும் விடை கொடுக்கும் பின்பு பலம் கொடுக்கும் துன்ப நேரத்திலும் வெளிச்சத்தை தரும் வலிப வயசுகள் இச்சைக்கு கூடும் பாவங்களை கூட கூட இருளாய் சூழும் எதிரியும் கூட்டம் நம்முடைய பட்டையும் அம்பு போலவே பறக்க வேணும்
Love is everything, it is so powerful. It can change everything, even an evil criminal. The word is a lyrical, spiritual, supernatural miracle. I feel like I am trapped in the swimming pool. I bless the real people who love the prodigal sons. Never judging the past, but show the logic and love. Never looked down on anyone, only God is above. I find my ID in the lion, Yah is enough. Kalma.
Eladu unale, eladu sonnargal pesattum, ana na kaividavilla. Koppiyum penaiyum kaiyile eduthu ezhuthinenna en kavidagal. Kanavugal niravettida, yarayum nambada devanai vida. Uravinargal vittu ponnalum devan
Bang, and the dirt is gone. He took the mess on the cross, now it's gone. Pride, envy, jealousy, gone. I ain't got time for that, man. I'm trying to tell the world about Christ, I don't care. They care about trapping and the clothes that they wear. They sit in a club and they get so waste. Doing them things to impress their mates. Do they realize that there is no time now? Christ is coming back for his church sometime now. Do they really know that he is the way, the truth and the life to enter the gates? People nowadays, what they want is freedom. We are set free by the king who freed us. He is the Lord of the earth, we need him. Instead, people only pray when they really need him. Like,
thank you so much for joining us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, then please make sure you hit the subscribe button. Please tell your friends, your families, and your churches. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please consider leaving us a review. Our episodes go out every month on the second Friday of the month. You can find out more about Nordjavan at nordjavan.com and on all our social media, or email us at podcast@nordjavan.com. Join us next time when we will be in conversation with Sam Daniel, hearing his testimony and finding out how God has been working in his faith, music, and life. See you next time!